morning, everyone. It's really nice to see so many people still here on the last day of the conference. Today, I'd be presenting on some of the research I've been doing during my graduate study at the Shale Hills Critical Zone Observatory in Pennsylvania, which is one of six funded CZOs within the U.S. One of our overarching questions as driving research at the CZO is to understand the factors that control carbon storage as well as transport at different spatial and temporal scales within the catchment. And so this is of importance, this research that we're doing, because while a lot of progress has been made over the last few decades, there is still a lot of uncertainty and questions about what's taking place with carbon dynamics. What we do know is that on a global scale, soils are definitely or appear to be storing more carbon compared to the vegetation and the atmospheric pool. So this has increased a lot of interest in soil carbon dynamics, particularly whether watersheds are going to be sources or sinks for carbon, and the role that dissolved organic carbon, or DOC, is playing in whether these watersheds are sources or sinks. And so in order to tackle our research question and bridge some of these knowledge gaps, we sought to use dissolved organic carbon as a tool for linking different spatial scales, namely the hill slope scale and the watershed scale. And DOC also provides us with the ability to link the water and carbon cycle at least along the hill slope in the soils, as well as from upland to the stream. Additionally, with concerns about changes in climate, a lot of interest has also been invoked for the role of DOC in the global carbon balance, because this role was previously thought to be negligible, but more recent research has shown that DOC in soil is actually of much larger fluxes compared to stream fluxes. And additionally, DOC might be playing a really important role in carbon sequestration or stabilization. And so bearing that in mind, our overall objectives were to evaluate the vertical profiles of both soil organic carbon as well as dissolved organic carbon along two contrasting hill slopes, namely swales and planar hill slopes. Swales are more topographic depressions and therefore have deeper soils, while planar hill slopes are more linear and have shallower soils. And so we were doing this at the hill slope scale, and then to look at the catchment scale, we sought to quantify dissolved organic export as well as soil organic carbon storage within the critical zone. And so here we have Shale Hills, which, as I mentioned, is in central Pennsylvania. It's about an 8-hectare catchment. It's a forested headwater catchment with moderate to steep slopes. We also have very shallow soils, at the ridgetop, and then deeper soils within our swales and valley floor area. We have increased clay content as we move from the surface to the subsurface. For the project, we've established 4 hill slope transects, 2 along the swales and 2 along the planar hill slopes on either sides of the catchment. For today's talk, I'll be focusing on the ones on the north-facing slope. Along the transects, we've installed instrumentation at the ridgetop, the mid-slope, and the valley floor area. We also have instrumentation at the outlet of the catchment for stream and groundwater sampling. And all these pink dots that you see here are sites within the catchment that we're looking at soil moisture, as well as collected soil samples to look at the catchment-wide organic carbon. And so, as I mentioned, my methods are twofold. We're looking at both soils and water. So from those 60 sites, we've collected soil samples at various depths and analyzed these samples for organic carbon content, texture, bulk density, and other variables, as well as we're monitoring soil moisture, both manually and automatically. With respect to the waters, we've been collecting weekly samples from our nested lysimeters at the ridgetop, midslope, and valley floor areas, as well as daily samples from our stream and groundwater samplers and analyzing those for dissolved organic carbon. And so getting into the results, I've broken up the results into 2 sections, the soil organic carbon content and storage, and then the dissolved organic carbon trends within the catchment. So firstly, we're going to look at the hill slope scale. So on the top, we have the data for the planar hill slope, and at the bottom panel, data for the swale hill slope. And what we see is that with increasing soil depth, we have an exponential decrease at all landscape positions for both the planar and the swale hill slopes, as well as we see this similar trend for carbon to nitrogen ratio. In addition to that, if we're just looking at the same depth interval for the plain and the swale hill slope, what we notice is that we have a steeper decline in the swale compared to the planar hill slope, and we believe that this result suggests that there is higher potential for organic carbon storage along the swale compared to the planar hill slope. So shifting from the hill slope scale to the catchment scale, let me orient you a little bit. The first three figures, A, B, and C, is actually soil organic carbon content for the A, B, and C horizons. The fourth figure is actually total soil organic carbon storage. Around the outline of the catchment, we've delineated the ridgetop area. The dotted shapes are pretty much our seven delineated swales for the entire catchment, and the dashed line is our valley floor area. And so similar to our hill slopes, what we've observed is that on a catchment scale, organic carbon content is also reducing from the A horizon to the C horizon. But when we look at organic carbon storage, and this is pretty much for the top 1 meter of the soil profile, we see, at least visually, we have higher carbon storage on the south-facing slope compared to the north-facing slope, particularly in our swales and along our valley floor area. And the total organic carbon storage for the catchment was calculated to be around 260 megagrams of carbon per hectare. And so pulling out this data, what we observed is that landform units do have an impact on organic carbon storage within this catchment. We see that the south-facing slope is significantly higher than the north-facing slope, particularly for the swales and the planar hill slopes, but pretty similar at the ridgetop. And our valley floor area is pretty similar to the swales, particularly on the south-facing slope. So in order to figure out what it was impacting these organic carbon storage trends that we were observing, we pulled out some of our soil and landscape characteristics. And so this first figure shows soil organic carbon storage versus slope. And we see a slight negative relationship between storage and slope, but it was not a significant relationship at P equal to 0.05. We see the same thing for elevation as well for the catchment. What we did find to be significant with organic carbon storage was actually the topographic wetness index, which is an index that's used to quantify the topographic control on hydrological processes, so the importance of, say, soil moisture or hydrologic flow paths on storage. And so we found a positive linear correlation between storage and this wetness index. We also saw a positive strong relationship with soil organic carbon storage with the depth to bedrock, so the thicker the soils, the higher the storage. And this pretty much was expected because thicker soils would have a higher potential for storing carbon. But our main factor, the total clay storage in the catchment, showed to have a very strong linear correlation as well, with clay content actually explaining about 70% of the organic carbon storage that we were seeing for the catchment on the whole. And so switching gears from soil organic carbon to dissolved organic carbon, what we see is similar results for our swale versus our planar hill slopes. On the y-axis, I have DOC concentration for the swale versus DOC concentration for the planar hill slope. And what we see is that, in general, for all landscape positions, the ridgetop, midslope, and valley floor, we had higher DOC concentrations along the swale compared to the planar hill slope. So looking at these hill slopes individually, what we observe for the ridgetop, midslope, and valley floor area is that we have a decrease in the dissolved organic carbon concentrations with increasing depth at all three landscape positions. However, what we also saw was that we have elevated concentrations at 30 centimeters at our ridgetop site and at 30 centimeters at our valley floor site. And so we see the same general patterns for the swale, but these increases at 30 centimeters was less obvious for the swale compared to the planar hill slope. So seeing that the data for the planar hill slope was a little more obvious, we pulled out this data to try and figure out what was causing these elevated concentrations. And what we observed was that at 30 centimeters at the ridgetop, that coincided with the soil bedrock interface and at the Valley Floor, the BWBT interface. And so we looked at our soil profile data in order to understand what might be causing these elevated concentrations. And what we found was that clay content didn't really explain the patterns that we were seeing. However, soil moisture content was able to significantly explain what we were seeing. So we think that these results suggest that at these restrictive interfaces, we're having preferential flow pathways. And these preferential flow pathways are flushing the DOC being leached from the surface horizons, which are causing these elevated concentrations in DOC at these restrictive interfaces. And so switching from our soil profiles to the actual stream, this figure here shows data from 2008 to 2010, the red dots representing our daily DOC concentrations. The pink dashed line is our groundwater DOC concentration. This blue, green, and gray lines represent our the time series data for our discharge, water, and air temperature, respectively. And so we have DOC concentration on this axis, discharge and temperature, as well as rainfall. And what I want you to take away from this figure is that particularly for 2009, which was a relatively wet year, we had much elevated concentrations in DOC during our snowmelt period, as well as our late summer, early fall wetter period. And so because of these differences in rainfall, what we observed was that there was a 40% higher export in DOC in 2009 compared to 2008 and 2010, which were relatively drier years. So looking at the differences that we saw over these 3 years with the differences in rainfall, we looked at pretty much our climatic data to see what might be controlling the patterns that we were seeing. And so while we didn't find a significant correlation with rainfall amount, we found a significant correlation with stream discharge and DOC concentration. What we observed is that at both high discharge and low discharge, we had high DOC concentrations. And these pretty much were linked to our snowmelt period, so we had some flushing of DOC after that dormant winter period, as well as during our late summer, early fall wetter period. What we believe was taking place is that during the summer, we have high microbial activity, so decomposition of soil organic carbon, as well as in-stream processes because of the aerobic warm temperatures. And once the catchment starts to wet up during the early fall, we have this DOC that was accumulated being flushed. We also saw a pretty significant relationship with our temperature data and our stream DOC concentrations. So in summarizing this data, what we found was that the main controls for soil organic carbon storage was mainly clay, as well as depth to bedrock, as well as our wetness index. When it came to dissolved organic carbon, what we found was that for the soil profile, our restrictive horizon interfaces, as well as soil moisture, was playing an important role. And with respect to the stream water, which is more of on a catchment or watershed scale, discharge and water temperature were significant factors. Additionally, what we found was that the snowmelt and the late summer, early fall periods were important time periods for DOC export within our catchment, as it was explaining or contributing more than 50% of the DOC being exported. And so looking at our landscape controls on carbon storage and DOC export, what we observed was that the swale and the valley floor had similar storage, but it was higher than the planar hill slopes, as well as the south-facing slope showed much higher potential for storing carbon compared to our north-facing slopes. And with respect to DOC, and consequently, because of the trends we saw in soil organic carbon, we had higher DOC concentrations along the swale compared to the planar hill slopes, but they were dependent on landscape positions. And so our ridge top and valley floor concentrations were pretty similar, but much higher or significantly higher than the mid slope. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening to the talk.